ask you to take your Bible now and turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We have been going through the book of Revelation here on Sunday evenings. We've started that and we come here to the sixth chapter. And we saw the next section of the book of Revelation here, kind of start with chapter 4. John there is taken up into heaven, into the throne room of heaven. And he sees God there sitting on his throne, and he sees all the worship that goes on around the throne. And then he sees that in the throne there is a book or a scroll. And that's the focus of chapter 5, as we saw last time. What is the scroll here? And we'll begin to see what that scroll is. But really what it is kind of a history book of the future of the world. And as that scroll is unraveled, the seals are broken on that scroll, we begin to see what the events are going to look like in the future time in world history. And we see that the only one who has the authority to bring about those events in world history is the Lamb that John sees in chapter 5, of course, Jesus Christ. And the Lamb takes that book, takes that scroll, and we have the authorization for him to begin to open up the contents of that book, that scroll. And so we're just going to look at really the first eight verses here of chapter 6 tonight. And so I'm going to begin by reading those verses here. Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And the power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Probably many of you have heard of the children's program. It used to be on PBS. It was one of the only programs I was allowed to watch as a child. But Reading Rainbow. All right, have you ever heard of that children's program? But Reading Rainbow was a program where it always began with a book. You know, the idea was to encourage kids to read their books. And the way it would start was with the host. He was reading the book, whatever it was, some children's book. And then as he was reading along, I think if I remember right, the show would kind of transform into, what he was reading. Like it turned into a drama, or the scene would change of some sort, and you were in the book, and Reading Rainbow. It's not on anymore, but the reason I mention that is because that's a little bit like what we see with this book that is in heaven. And what's going on here when the Lamb comes and opens the seals in this book, in this scroll? What happens? We don't actually hear what is written on this book. The book is never actually read in heaven. What happens with the book? Well, it is enacted. You know, it's like John suddenly sees the scene take place that perhaps is written there on the scroll, but you know, these scenes take place before John's eyes, and he describes them for us here. And here in chapter 6, we see that six of those seals, there are seven seals on that book, six of those seals are opened by the Lamb. And John sees the scenes that go with each one of those seals. We see that the first four of them all kind of fit together. They all involve one of the four beasts calling John's attention to a horse and a rider on that horse. And we see that happen four times, four different ways. And then the last two seals here that are recorded is a little bit different. But these first four seals all seem to fit together here. And so let's look at the first seal that is open here, verses 1 and 2. We see a white horse and rider. Really, verse 2 describes that. I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So John sees a white horse and a rider. We're told that the rider has a bow. The idea is, you know, a weapon, like you would have a bow and an arrow. The rider has a bow, and he's wearing a crown, and he's obviously successful, conquering and to conquer. And so what does that mean exactly? Well, there are a lot of different interpretations, as you can imagine, about who that represents. And basically, you know, there's kind of two different categories, but the one category would be, well, this must represent God, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ riding on a white horse, and, you know, he's victorious. And after all, in Revelation 19, that's kind of the description that we see of Christ coming for the second coming. He's riding a white horse, actually, it says there. The problem, I think, with that is that, you know, when you look at the other seals as they're opened, they all seem to involve some kind of destruction on the earth. And, you know, you would think that the first seal and the events that happen on the earth that correspond to that would kind of be in parallel with these other events, other disasters like war, famine, and death. And so I think perhaps, you know, it's not a representation of Christ there on that horse. You know, Christ obviously is the one who's there opening the scroll. But another important clue for what these events are comes from a parallel passage, which I'm going to ask you to turn to, and that is Matthew chapter 24. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, we have recorded the great Olivet Discourse, the teaching that Jesus Christ gave there on the Mount of Olives, and the subject of that discourse is future events, and future events in the tribulation period. We know that for sure because Jesus in that discourse talks about Daniel and the event in Daniel's 70th week, the abomination of desolation, that takes place in this time period. But at the beginning of this Olivet Discourse, we have a passage that really seems to describe really the same things that are given in Revelation 6. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, what we see just in those verses are events really that happen in the same sequence as the events that happen in Revelation chapter 6. Same sequence. And what is at the beginning here in this list of in the Olivet Discourse is, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And so I wonder if perhaps a better interpretation of what this rider on a white horse that is carrying this bow and that has a crown and that is conquering, it seems that perhaps this is a description of the peaceful conquest of the Antichrist. Rather than the description of Jesus Christ who comes in the second coming, this seems to be a description of that Antichrist figure who comes, and the Bible actually tells us a lot about his success, and he will come, and perhaps that's an indication of what that bow is. We see a bow there. Obviously, there's no discussion of arrows in that bow, and perhaps the implication is the Antichrist comes and he doesn't need any arrows in the bow. He conquers, and he doesn't need to, practically is able to take over the world without fighting. And he goes forth conquering and to conquer, as it says. And that's a description of the Antichrist ministry at the beginning of the tribulation. It looks like he can do no wrong. It looks like, he is the answer to the world's problems. And so we see here with this first seal, the perhaps the peaceful conquest of the Antichrist figure at the beginning of the tribulation. And then we come here to the second seal, verses 3 and 4. Second seal, verse 3, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So we have here with the second seal that Jesus Christ opens, the beast here says, come and see. And then there's this other horseman that comes about here. Now you remember the beast. That's not talking about the mark of the beast that comes later in the book of Revelation. That's talking about one of the four beasts that are around the throne that we read about in Revelation chapter 5. Perhaps angels, a class of angels there, really living beings is the idea. And these are involved in the opening of the seals as well, what John sees. But the second seal, John sees this horse that is red, and the one riding on the horse is given power to take peace from the earth. And again, this corresponds to what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 24 and the other passages as well that deal with the Olivet Discourse. But what's the next thing that Jesus talks about there? After the false Christs, it says in verse 6 of Matthew 24, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And so what we see with the second seal being opened is a period of worldwide conflict. The Antichrist comes and there's apparent peace. He's peacefully taking over the world, the answer to the world's problems. But then what happens? That peace is gone. That peace is gone. There is conflict. And, the idea of war taking place all around the world people killing one another. We often hear about, different wars that could take place. And, we think about, what's going to happen with North Korea? And, are they going to start actually using their nuclear weapons, and what would happen if we got into that? And I don't know what's going to happen with that, but you think about that fear of getting involved in international conflict, well, that's what's going to take place in this time period. There really will be great turmoil, international conflict going on. And God allows that to happen during this time, during the time of the tribulation. And then we come here to the third seal that's open here in verses 5 and 6. It says there in verse 5, "When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" And so we see a black horse that comes on the scene here when this third seal is open. And the rider has a pair of balances in his hand. This is the idea of a scale. This is something that's used in commerce. And, there was a time when, people bought more things in bulk. And maybe some of you go to a bulk food store and, they have to measure out how much you're going to get of, whatever you're buying. Or if you go and every time you go and fill up your car with gas, there's a, you use a balance, right? It's just a, that pump there, it measures out the quantity of gasoline. And the idea here is this is something that's used in commerce. And so this third seal speaks of something that is going to affect the worldwide commerce. And specifically, this has to do with the rationing of food. We see here of what that's going to involve here, a measure of wheat for a penny. And you say, well, that doesn't sound very bad, a penny, that's pretty cheap. But actually, the word here for penny, the Greek word is the denarius. And the denarius is, a day's wage for an average day's worker. So you're paying a day's wage for a measure of wheat. And a measure, as I understand it, is an amount that is about a quart, slightly less than a quart. So you're paying a day's pay for a quart, slightly less a quart of wheat there. And so that's quite a lot. We see here that there's an opportunity to buy barley, three measures of barley, or three approximate quarts of barley for a penny for a day's wage. So you get a little more barley. But, the barley, as I understand it, is not as desirable, at least in the biblical days, as wheat would have been. And this would be the conditions there. I did do a little bit of math there. My wife is always a little concerned when I'm doing math. If we have a 5-pound bag of flour, I think that's usually what you buy flour in, 5-pound bag. And according to the internet, anyway, there is about four of those measures in a 5-pound bag. All right, that's what I figured. If the average worker makes $10 a day, or $10 an hour, 8-hour a day, gets $80 a day, that would be a denarius. Then if we multiply 80 by 4, that would get us about a 5-pound bag of flour. That would be, according to my calculations, $320 for a 5-pound bag of flour. I have to check with my wife on the math because she's the math person, not me. But, the idea is it's going to be hard to get food. There's going to be a famine. And very expensive to buy just the normal staples of life because of famine. The supply of oil and wine is not affected here. See, thou hurt not the oil and wine. And the idea there may be that, these are maybe more luxury items, and, the rich may not be as affected But you know, in general, the average workers throughout the world are going to be greatly affected by famine at this time. And again, you know, we see a correspondence back to the Olivet Discourse, and this same thing is referred to by Jesus in Matthew 24:7. He says, "There shall be famines." And so, you know, we have the same sequence as is in the Olivet Discourse here. Things that are going on in the tribulation period. So it starts with a peaceful conquest, it seems, perhaps of the Antichrist. Turns into worldwide conflict. Peace is taken from the earth. There is famine. It's really hard to get the food that you need. If you're not really rich, you're going to be suffering. And then we come here to this fourth seal that is open in verse 7. "And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." So the opening of the fourth seal brings a pale horse on the scene here. The word for pale here, the Greek word is chloros, and that is a word that refers to a kind of a greenish, pale greenish color that you might see in a plant, or that you might see when somebody is sick. They're looking a little bit green, and sometimes we say that. But, you know, that's the color of this horse that comes on. The rider of the horse is described as Death, and hell follows with him here, or Hades. And here we have a very important passage about the existence of life after death. You know, death is the rider here, and death is going to affect a large portion of the earth. And along with that, hell, or Hades. You know, there's the biblical truth is that when we die, we don't cease to exist. We still exist, and those that are wicked are in a place of torment, in a place called hell, or Hades, that we see in the Scripture. And so we see that this rider is given the power to kill a fourth part of the earth, it says. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So there's a number of different ways that death will happen during this time. Through wars, obviously, and hunger, people dying because they can't get food that they need. And beasts there. I'm not sure exactly what that refers to. Wild animals of some sort, perhaps, and all these different ways in which people will die at this time. And you notice the amount of people that will die at this time. It says a fourth part of the earth. A fourth part of the earth. That's talking about world population. 25% of world population dies during this time. And so I looked online, what is the world population right now? And according to Wikipedia anyway, 7.5 billion people in the world today. And what is 25% of that? Again, you have to check my math here again, but I come up with 1,875,000,000 as 25% of 7.5 billion. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And I would suggest that that's nowhere near anything the world has ever seen to this point. It's interesting that there are, you know, Christians that believe that the book of Revelation is to be interpreted as having already been fulfilled in the past. And I came across an article this week, actually, written by a man who's writing a series of books called The Chronicles of the Apocalypse. And his design for these books is to be kind of an alternative to the Left Behind series. You've heard of the Left Behind series, Tim LaHaye, and you know that's really set in the tribulation period. It's fictional, but what this guy is doing, this guy's name is Brian Godawa, and you know his interpretation of Revelation is that these things have already happened in the past. And so they would interpret the tribulation to have already been fulfilled really in the events that surrounded the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And so this guy's writing this Chronicles of the Apocalypse set in that time of AD 70, and he's trying to show how, you know, it's already been fulfilled. But I don't know how they get around this. One-fourth of the world's population killed? That's never happened. That's never happened in the world. You know, we've had all kinds of different wars in the world and different, you know, famines at different times, but never that extent. Never 25% of the world's population being killed. And I think this is one of the major reasons here why we have to see that these events are still to happen in the future. We look back and we see, you know, hey, this has not happened at all yet. And there's no way that we could see you know, that happening having already happened. This is something that has never happened, but yet will happen for sure in the future. So 25% of the world's population is killed in different ways. And then we come here to the fifth and sixth seals. We're not going to go into those tonight, but those are a little bit different. We don't see the horse and the rider coming up with those two, but John just sees the scene there as they are enacted. But we'll look at those, Lord willing, next time. But, you know, we don't believe that we will be present on the earth for these events. I trust that you won't be either. And you know, the promise that we can go back to is what we looked at in chapter 3, the promise given to the church of Philadelphia, which is for the church age, really. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And we have that wonderful promise that's given to the church of protection from this tribulation time period. And so the Lord has given us the information about that time period, given it to the church, so we know what we can be saved from. And the only way that we can escape that horrible time is by coming to Jesus Christ for salvation. And that's what the church is. Those that have come to Jesus Christ, put their faith and trust in Him. And those are the people that God promises protection from the peaceful conquest of the Antichrist, the worldwide conflict that will erupt, worldwide famine, and worldwide death that comes upon 25% of the entire population of the world. And it's wonderful to know that we are saved from that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you have the history book for the future of the world. And you know what is going to take place. None of these events are going to be a surprise to you. And Father, we thank you that we have the promise of being delivered from this time period. And we pray that each one of us would truly be able to say that we will be saved. We are going to go to heaven with you before this time. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us would come to that understanding. And we thank you for this time we've had tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals.